Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, we command our souls today. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion. Secret chord David played and it pleased the Lord. You don't really care for music, do you? But it goes like this: the fourth, fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composed it. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We'll be right back.
Well, good morning, Ascend Church. If you'd stand with us and join us in worship this morning.
Hallelujah.
All right, we're going to try that again. Join us in worship this morning. Yeah, there we go, there we go.
For a minute, but I've got a song to sing. Might not be on key, but it's from my heart, and no one else can tell it what the Lord has done for me. This might take all day, so I better start right now. Come on.
And it might get loud. It might get loud. Heaven's coming down, down, down. And it might get loud.
Somebody said
it might get loud. Heaven's coming down, down, down. And it might get loud.
I ain't got no halo. No, I'm not a perfect man. Just glad to be a child of God. Cause when I think of where I could have been, should have been, would have been if you hadn't stepped in. Oh, I've got a praise on the inside I can't be denied, and I gotta get it out right now.
It might get loud.
Woo!
It might get loud. Heaven's coming down, down, down. It might get loud. Heaven's coming down, down, down. And it might get loud.
Well, excuse me for a minute.
It might get loud.
I got a song to sing.
Heaven's coming down, down, down. And it might get loud.
When the saints start praising.
It might get loud.
When the saints start praising.
Heaven's coming down, down, down. And it might get loud.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for your praise and for the opportunity to praise you and worship you this morning, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What we're going to do right now is we're going to go into a time of worship, and we're going to declare who God says we are. We're going to sing who you say I am, and we're going to declare that confidently, boldly. Come on, church, and get excited in this place.
I am chosen. Just pray during this whole song over your family, over all the ties, addiction, chains breaking, bringing families back together in the name of Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Come on, sing along with me.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Oh yes it is. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Oh, 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 'cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Oh, yes it is. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows. Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Oh, shout Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Come on, sing it out.
Shout Jesus from the mountain,
Jesus in the streets.
For your family.
Stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
Come on, sing that part.
Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Oh, shout Jesus from the mountain, Jesus from the street, Jesus from the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
One more time.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus from the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like the fire.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I love that. We're going to do that right now. We're going to speak the name of Jesus to break every stronghold, to bring deliverance. You know, we said speak Jesus over every darkness, over every enemy. There are people that are here today, people that are watching online, and you've had some attack come against you, attack come against your family, whether some have faced issues of anxiety or depression, others issues in their health, bad diagnosis from the doctors, someone in their family having a situation they've got to deal with, and we're going to speak the name of Jesus over those circumstances, amen? And I'm going to pray a prayer generally over our congregation. I'm going to pray a prayer that there's no distance in prayer. I'm going to pray over those that are watching online. And then after this, you want to add to what I'm saying?
I do. I just Good. Wanted to say, you know, put up that picture for me of William. So this is William. Where are you at, William? There he is, right over here. I just want to tell you, he just spoke to me before service today, and the picture on the left is when William started coming to this church 9 months ago, the Lord set him free from 40 years of drug addiction. And that's the picture on the left. He'd struggled with drug addiction for 40 years. And as a result of that, he had a lot of health difficulties. When William first came into this church, he was on a walker. He came in on a walker because the drugs had so destroyed his body. But the Lord has restored William's health. Look at him now. Look at him now, man. Praise God. The Lord has delivered him, and the Lord has restored your health. No more walker.
Praise God.
And he said to me, it all happened 9 months ago when he completely surrendered his life to Jesus. Jesus delivered him and set him free. And we rejoice with you. And I just want to say, when it comes to prayer, let me tell you, God is a miracle working God. He's a deliverer. He's a healer. He can do what doctors are not able to do. And so if you need to be set free today, if you've struggled with an addiction, or if you need healing in your body today, I want you to come right now Our prayer partners are going to be up here. They know how to pray. Right. We've seen the Lord do miracles. Yes. We've seen amazing things happen.
Amen.
So if you need prayer, don't be shy. Come right now. And we're going to pray for everyone who's watching us.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, I take authority over every addiction, over every bondage. In Jesus' name, I command you to be free. I set you free in the name of Jesus. And I release the healing power of God to flow right now. I command sickness to go, disease to go. Lord, thank you for restoring people's health. Thank you that your healing power flows through their body right now. And you restore them to health and you heal them of their wounds. Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. I want to encourage you, if you need prayer, come. If you know somebody who needs a miracle, they need to be set free, they need a healing, bring them, because every Sunday we pray and we see God do amazing things. Amen. We're going to sing our final song this morning, and it's called Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you, church, to just forget about everything else and get lost in worshiping God today. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. Just say, lift your hands, everybody, right now. Say, Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, fill me again. Touch my life. Have your way in me, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. And I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what hearts long for, to be
I want you to press in.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord.
Sing holy.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come, God, in life and fill the atmosphere. Your glory.
For more, I dare you to throw your hands up in the air and surrender. We want more of you, God. We're not okay with being complacent, God. We want more, deeper, more. Holy Spirit, you are well. Welcome him into your heart. Come on.
Come, blood.
Beginning of time, when God created the earth, the Holy Spirit hovered over the darkness and over the deep. And what came out of that was beauty and splendor. What came out of that was miraculous. And so too, as you allow the Holy Spirit to hover over your life, as you allow him to move upon the dark areas of your life, as you allow him to move in your world, says the Lord, There are miraculous things waiting to take place. There are healings and deliverances that you never dreamed you would be so free, that you never dreamed that you would see into the future, that you never dreamed that God would speak to you so clearly. It is by my Spirit, says the Lord. It is by my Spirit, says the Lord. And the level at which you open up to my Holy Spirit is the level at which I can minister to you, says the Lord. For my anointing is everywhere present, but it's not everywhere felt. It is felt and it's experienced where the hearts are open unto me. So just lift your hands and say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You're welcome to move in my life. Do what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be careful when you pray a prayer like that. Be careful when you sing a song like that, because things start to change. Amen. Praise God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. What a beautiful time of worship. Thank you to our worship team. So beautiful. We just welcome you. Won't you turn and greet someone? Tell them how glad you are to see them, and you may be seated. Welcome, welcome. You may be seated. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're so glad you've joined us. Welcome to Ascend Church. There are people that watch us from around the world, and we thank you for doing that. We pray that you receive right where you're sitting, that you receive from the word, you receive from the ministry today. And if you're watching on Facebook Live, wherever, if you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and let us know where you're watching from. Comment on the message as we go. Give us a thumbs up. No thumbs down, just thumbs up. Praise the Lord. Hearts, anything like that. Smiley faces. We like them all. Speaking in emojis. They talk about speaking in tongues, but we speak in emojis too, right? And so welcome. I want to welcome everyone who's visiting for the first time today. If we have anyone visiting for the first time, we're so glad that you're here. We'd like to just give you a visitor pack. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can pass you a visitor packet? God bless you. Come on, family. Anyone else? Just inside, there's a couple of things, one being a card. Now I went and stuck mine together, but there's a card in there that says guest. You wouldn't mind just filling that out. Thank you for doing that. And at the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop it in, and Pastor Steve would love to get in touch with you. So thank you for doing that, and welcome to all of our members. I'm so glad I get to stand up here week after week, because I get to have a look who's sitting behind me. I don't want to turn around and look for you, but it's wonderful to have you. I love this church family. You know, you can sit at home and you can watch messages, and I do. I've listened to probably 5 messages this week on YouTube, and that's great. But nothing substitutes for being in church. It is part of God's plan that we be a community, that a local church that ministers to one another, that uses our gifts in a local church. So thank you for being part of this church. Like I said, we've got various ways that you can watch on Facebook Live. Go ahead and share that. You never know who it'll reach. You can watch on our website, ascendchurch.us, on our app, the Ascend Church app. If you haven't downloaded that, go ahead and do it. And as I said, YouTube and Facebook. I love that we're able to extend our reach beyond these 4 walls. Amen. And we're going to pass a clipboard by during the service. Just let us know that you were here. Let us know if there are any changes to your email or your contact details. Thanks for doing that. I just want to remind those, we have our outreach tomorrow to St. George's Mission. We're going to be feeding the homeless, like 150 to 200 people, 12 o'clock tomorrow. If you signed up, I'm sure you got plenty of reminders this week, but you signed up either to serve or for food. See Deanne, see Demony. There's Deanne in a pretty flowery dress. And or Demony, and make sure that you got all your, we got everything going for tomorrow morning. Amen. It's going to be so good. And I just want to remind you of the four main purposes of our church. The first one is to help people to know God. It's the most important one, right? The second one is to find freedom. You can know God, you can get saved, you can go to heaven when you die, and you can live bound on the earth, or you can live free. Aren't you glad to be free, my brother? That testimony was powerful. Amen. The third point is that our third main purpose of our church is that you would discover your purpose. God's got a purpose for you. He's got a purpose for me. And lastly, that we would make a difference with our lives. Amen. You ready for the word today? I told Pastor Steve, I'm looking forward to the message. He was preparing and preparing and preparing.
Praise God. Thanks, babe. Good morning, everybody. Tell your neighbor good morning. I'm glad to see you. Tell him I'm glad to see you. Are you ready for God's word today? Father, we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit, whom you have sent to be our helper, to guide us, to empower us, to be our best friend. I pray, Father, today that you will make the reality of your Holy Spirit clear to every person. I pray, Lord, that we will all become more aware of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will touch every life today. And Lord, we give you all the praise for everything that is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's interesting. Today, last Sunday was Easter Sunday. Do you know what the worst attendance in church is? Is the Sunday after Easter. It's a fact. Statistically, it's a fact. Everybody came to church last week, they figure. Take a break today. This is one you don't want to miss. You don't want to miss today. I want to speak about my best friend, the Holy Spirit. Now, my human best friend is my wife, Jill. We do everything together. But the Holy Spirit has become my spiritual, my inner best friend. And He wants to be your best friend too. He will never leave you. He will never betray you. He will never hurt you. He will help you. He will empower you. He will warn you. He will protect you. He will comfort you. He will strengthen you. He will guide you. Jesus said in John 16, verse 7, it's better for you that I leave. For if I don't leave, the friend won't come. If I don't leave, the friend won't come. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, last Sunday, we celebrated Jesus' resurrection. So what now? Where do we go from there? Well, let's look at what the last thing that Jesus said before he returned to heaven. In Acts chapter 1, after his resurrection, it says in verse 2, just before he ascended into heaven, he left instructions for the apostles that he had chosen by the Holy Spirit. After the sufferings of his cross, He appeared alive, to many times to these same apostles over a 40-day period. Jesus proved to them with many convincing signs that he had been resurrected. During these encounters, he taught them the truth of God's kingdom realm and shared meals with them. And Jesus instructed them, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait here until you receive the gift that I told you about, the gift that the Father has promised. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days from now, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be filled with power. You will be filled with power, and you will be my messengers to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, the distant provinces, even to the remotest places on earth. Now, Jesus told them to wait for the Holy Spirit. They were not to go anywhere. They were not to start ministering until they had received the Holy Spirit, because they would receive power when they received the Holy Spirit. And Jesus knew that they needed the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, so do you and so do I. The disciples were waiting for the Holy Spirit. 120 believers gathered together in the upper room. And in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, which is 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, the Holy Spirit comes to the church. And I want to read it to you from Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read a few verses here. We can call this your Bible reading for today. Acts chapter 2, from verse number 2, it says, suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house and from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could hear. Then all at once a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes, and it separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each of them. And they were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit, and they were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages that they had never learned. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in a heavenly tongue. This is a supernatural language that the Holy Spirit gives you when you are filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm going to come back to this. I'm not going to really talk about that today. We're going to talk about that probably next week or the week after. But I just want you to know that in every place in the Scripture, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they started to speak out in these other tongues. In verse 5 says, now at that time, there were Jewish worshipers who had immigrated from different lands to live in Jerusalem. And when the people of the city heard the roaring sound, crowds came running to where it was coming from, stunned over what was happening, because each one could hear the disciples speaking in his or her own language. Now, it doesn't say that the disciples spoke in the languages. It says that they heard them in their own languages. Because I've had people come to me before when we've had prayer meetings. I'm thinking particularly of one time in South Africa. We had a prayer meeting and I was praying in the Spirit. And someone came to me and said, do you know that you were speaking this language? I can't remember what language it was now, but it was some language I didn't know. And they said, yeah, I speak that language and you were speaking that language. So, you know, that's what happened. That's what happened in this instance. Move on for me, please. In verse 7, it says, bewildered, they said to one another, aren't these all Galileans? So how is it that we hear them speaking in our own languages? We are northeastern Iranians, Elamites, those from Mesopotamia, Judea, east central Turkey, the coastal areas of the Black Sea, Asia, north central Turkey, southern Turkey, Egyptians, Liberians, who are neighbors of Cyrene, visitors from all over the Roman Empire, both Jews, converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. In other words, there were all these different languages and they heard them in their own language speaking about the wonderful. It says, we hear them speaking of God's mighty wonders in our own dialects. And they all stood there dumbfounded and astonished and they said to one another, what is this phenomenon? But others poked fun of them and they said, oh, they just drunk on new wine. Why do you suppose they thought that they were drunk on wine? This is not a trick question. Because the way they were acting. You ever seen anyone drunk on wine? You ever been drunk? I know nobody in here ever been drunk. But what happens is you lose all your inhibitions. You become very happy very often. You become full of joy. They had such that, you see, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the joy of the Lord. And they were so happy and overwhelmed with the Spirit, they thought they were drunk. See, the Bible says, don't be drunk on wine, be filled with the Spirit. Do you know that getting drunk on alcohol is a counterfeit? It's an imitation of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when you get so filled with the Holy Spirit, you have such joy, such happiness, but there's no hangover that comes the next day. And it says in verse 14, Peter stood up with the 11 apostles and he shouted to the crowd. Listen carefully, my fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. You need to clearly understand what's happening here. These people are not drunk like you think they are. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, but this is the fulfillment of what was prophesied through the prophet Joel. For God says, and this is what I'll do in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on everybody. Say everybody. And I will cause your sons and your daughters to prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And this Holy Spirit will come upon all my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Now, Peter carries on preaching in Acts chapter 2. And what happens in verse 40, it says, Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And those who believe what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. 3,000 people were saved and baptized and added to the church. And all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing meals, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. The same Peter who denied the Lord 3 times, after he gets filled with the Holy Spirit, he starts boldly preaching. And 3,000 people receive Jesus and they are saved. What is it that made the difference? What changed Peter? The power of the Holy Spirit. That's what changed Peter. Have you ever wondered to yourself, why was it that Peter that got up and spoke? Why did Peter get up and speak? He should have been the last one. He just denied the Lord 3 times. He should have been in minister's rehab. But when Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, he forgot all of his failures. When he was filled with the Holy Spirit, everything Jesus had said became a reality. And when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were filled with power. These were men who were ordinary people, fishermen, common, everyday common people. But when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to do extraordinary things. They began to go out and do miraculous signs and wonders and heal the sick people and cast out devils and preach the gospel and turn cities upside down by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 17, verse 6, it says, these men who've turned the world upside down, they've come here too. They turned the world upside down. In Acts chapter 3, the next chapter, Peter and John, they're on their way to go to the temple to pray, and they see a paralyzed man lying at the gate, beautiful, and he was begging for money. And what did Peter say? Peter said, silver and gold, I don't have it. He wasn't saying I'm poor. He's saying, you don't need silver and gold. What I have, I'm going to give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Took him by the hand, and the man was instantly healed. I mean, Peter would walk down the street and people would bring the sick people and lay them down in the street so that if Peter's shadow would touch them, they would be healed. And it wasn't just the apostles that did this. Stephen wasn't an apostle. Stephen was a deacon in the early church. And the scripture says this about Stephen in Acts 6 verse 8. It says, Stephen, a man so full of faith and the Holy Spirit's power, he did spectacular miracles among the people. He wasn't an apostle, because when you talk about miracles and what happened in the book of Acts, so often people come and say, well, that was the apostles. Only they could do that. Stephen wasn't an apostle. Philip wasn't an apostle. He went down to Samaria, preached, the whole city came out. Miracles took place. You see, let me tell you, we've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit demonstrated in our churches today. Let me tell you, man, thank you for your enthusiasm. We can't become just a social club. lot of churches, it's a social club. We meet, we sing a couple of songs, we hear an inspiring message, and then we go home and wait till next week. No, we got to see the power of the Holy Spirit demonstrated. We got to get back to what the church is supposed to do. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, and he said, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. My words were not just eloquent, persuasive, good speaking, but it was demonstrating the Spirit and power, that your faith shouldn't be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And the Passion Bible says to prove to you the almighty power of God's Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to demonstrate His power today. Can you say amen? The power of the Holy Spirit is still for us today. And the devil is afraid of the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's why the devil has done everything he can to try and make the Holy Spirit seem weird and controversial. But the Holy Spirit is not weird. He's wonderful. He's the most wonderful, kind person who wants to empower you so that you can do what Jesus, the work Jesus did. A lot of churches today, they ignore the Holy Spirit. They don't talk anything about speaking in tongues because they don't want to offend anybody. They don't want anyone to think that we're weird. They don't want to be persecuted. Because when you proclaim the power of the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, you'll be persecuted and even hated. And God will still do miracles through us today, but we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. I'm not just talking about for church. I'm talking about in your everyday life. This week, my wife was at in our complex where we live. There's a little gym. And she was at the gym, and an elderly man who was there started talking to her. And he told her that he had stage 4 cancer. And Jill asked him, can I pray for you? And I don't know if he was expecting this, but she took hold of his hand, and she prayed for him to be healed. And he started weeping. He started crying. He said, I'm sorry I'm crying, but, you know, I just was so overcome. What was that? The presence of the Lord that came upon him. Let me tell you, you need to face the future in the power of the Holy Spirit. Religion tells us that the supernatural is not for today. Religion tells us that miracles and signs and wonders and speaking in tongues, casting out devils, that's not for us today. That's weird. And the church has been robbed of the power of the Holy Spirit. And the result is that people go and sit like, you know, mummies on a pew and listen to sermons telling them God doesn't do this and God doesn't do that. So there's no supernatural that is seen. A lot of people are missing out on this wonderful friend and helper because of something weird that they saw. Well, I saw someone and they were... I know people have done weird things. That doesn't mean that that was the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is my best friend, and He's not weird. He is wonderful. So who is the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus spoke to the disciples a lot about the Holy Spirit. I want to look at some verses in John chapter 14, John chapter 15, and John chapter 16. Jesus said, I don't know if you knew this, but what we're about to read, these verses in John 14, 15 and 16, all happened at the Last Supper. Jesus said all of these things at the Last Supper. The next morning at 9 a.m., He'd be crucified. So I'm going to pull out some verses, John 14, 15, and 16, all at the Last Supper, Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. In John 14, verse 12, Jesus said, the person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, will do the same, the person who believes in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these because I go to be with my Father. The reason why you and I, let me see your hand if you believe in Jesus, if you follow Jesus, say this is talking to me. The reason why you and I will do the same miracles Jesus did is because he's going to go to be with his Father. And when Jesus went to be with the Father, what did he do? He sent the Holy Spirit to empower us. Just like Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit, do you know that all of the miracles that Jesus did, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit? The Bible says that in Acts 10, verse 38. You know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then Jesus went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So notice that it was Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went around healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Do you know that Jesus didn't do any miracles until he was anointed by the Holy Spirit when he got baptized? The reason is because when Jesus came to the earth, when he left heaven, he laid aside his own godly power when he came to the earth. The scripture tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 6, though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but he laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like men. Jesus laid aside his godly power when he came to the earth. That's why we don't see any miracles in Jesus' life until he's 30 years old. No preaching, no sermons, no nothing till he's 30 years old. Then he gets anointed with the Holy Spirit at his baptism, and suddenly in the next three and a half years, so many miracles in Jesus' life. The Bible says there's not enough books to write down all the things that he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus was God incarnate. He was the Son of God, the second person in the Godhead. But when he came to the earth, he laid aside his godly power, and he was dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you too are filled with the same power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we can do the supernatural works that Jesus did. Jesus did many miracles when he was on the earth. He healed people who were sick. He opened blind eyes. He opened deaf ears. He healed people from leprosy. He healed paralyzed people. He raised the dead. He set people free from demon spirits. And the Bible says you and I can do the same mighty miracles like Jesus did because he went to the Father and he sent the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit who anointed Jesus has been sent to anoint, empower, and equip you and I to do the works that Jesus did. Now in John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. I will give you another helper. In verse 17, he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him, doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you. He lives with you now, and later he will be in you. You see, the Holy Spirit had been with them because he was with Jesus. The Holy Spirit anointed Jesus. So Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's been with you, but he's going to come and live on the inside of you. He is going to come and live within you. In verse 26, John 14, verse 26, it says, but the helper, say helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. And I like the Message translation because it said, the friend, the Holy Spirit. In John 15, verse 26, it says, but the helper, say helper, when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And then in John 16, verse 7, this is all the same evening, all one, John 14, 15, 16, all at the Last Supper. In John 16, 7, Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, say helper, the helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. The New Living Bible says, in fact, it is best for you. It's best for you that I go away. Jesus said, it's best for you that I leave. Because if I don't leave, the helper cannot come. Why is it best for us? In John 16, verse 13, it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So that verse says that he will guide you, he will speak to you, and he will tell you the future. He'll tell you things to come. And why is it best for us? Jesus said it's better for you. It's to your advantage. Because when Jesus lived on the earth, he was limited by a human body. He could only be one place at one time. He could only be in relationship with a limited number of people. And if Jesus was still on the earth today and he never left, you wouldn't be able to talk to Jesus. You wouldn't be able to see Jesus. Imagine the lines of people trying to get to go see Jesus. But the reason it's better is because the Holy Spirit has come and he's not limited by a physical body. He's able to dwell on the inside of every one of us. We can all have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's with us and he's in us 24 hours a day. Amen. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. He'll speak to each and every one of you. I'm telling you, we are living in the most amazing time, because before the Holy Spirit came to the earth 2,000 years ago, there were entire generations of people where only one person heard from God and only one person could speak for God, and that was the prophet. The prophet was the only one who heard from God, and you'd have to go to the prophet to get direction. Then there was a 400-year period after the book of Malachi, the prophet Malachi, where God didn't speak to anybody. And do you realize what the coming of the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago, what it means? Peter said, this is what Joel prophesied, that in the last days I'm going to pour my Spirit out on everybody. And everybody can hear God. Now everybody can have a personal relationship with God through the person of the Holy Spirit. And they can, and he'll talk to them. And he'll tell them things to come. And he'll guide them. And he'll help them. Amen? That's why it's better. These verses in John are absolutely incredible. Because the word helper is the Greek word parakletos. It's only used 5 times in the Bible, and we just read 4 of them in John 14, 15, and 16. We read 4 times where the word helper is used. It's only used 5 times in the entire Bible. Most of the time, when the Bible says the Holy Spirit, it uses the Greek words hagios, pneuma. I'm not sure you pronounce it. Pneuma. P-N-E-U-M-A. And that really is, it means Holy Spirit. But Jesus is talking about a specific name of the Holy Spirit, Parakletos, which means the helper. And the word Parakletos actually means consoler, intercessor, advocate, comforter, helper. Many translations use the word comforter. The King James uses the word comforter. In John 14, 16, I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter. In John 16, verse 7, from the Amplified, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it's profitable, it's good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away, because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby will not come to you. But if I go away, I'm going to send him to be in close fellowship with you. Now, most of us here have something in our homes called a comforter. You know what I'm talking about? I remember one time Jill bought us a new comforter. It was a nice, thick comforter. We actually had it made to match the drapes. So the drapes and the comforter are the same, nice, thick. I mean, this thing, I can't believe how much it cost to have this thing made. And I was, you know, so excited, looking forward to getting under my new comforter. And then we watched, you know, we had dinner, had a bit of TV, get up to the room, and like, Jill, someone stole our comforter. The comforter is gone. It's not in the bed. Now, the ladies know where I'm going with this, but the men are like, who stole the comforter? She'd taken it off the bed and put it away and put the old one back on the bed. And I'm like, where's the new comforter? She said, that comforter is not for use. It's just for show. I've since discovered there are many things in our home that are not for use. They're just for show. We have towels that you can use, but I can't use. Don't use that towel. That's the guest towel. I've got towels in my bathroom that I can't use. One time I got out the shower. There was this nice, thick, fluffy towel. Grabbed it, started drying myself. Jill walks in. What are you doing? Then she says, what were you thinking? I'm like, I don't know. I'm wet. I'm naked. There's a towel. I don't know what I was thinking. I should have used paper towels. I don't know what I was thinking. I found out they're not for use. They're just for show. And that comfort is not for use. It's just for show. How many believers today have a comforter that's not for use? It's just for show. I'm telling you that the comforter is for you to use. The comforter wants you to call upon him. He wants to comfort you, strengthen you, encourage you, guide you, speak to you. Amen. In fact, you cannot live this Christian life successfully without the Holy Spirit. And the good news is you have access to him anytime you want to. I don't want to just know the Holy Spirit as my best friend. I want you to know the Holy Spirit as your best friend as well. In fact, being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's so important. It was the first question that the Apostle Paul, when he met believers, the first thing he would ask them, Acts 19, verse 1. Paul traveled on through the regions of Turkey till he arrived in Ephesus, where he found a group of 12 followers of Jesus. The first thing that he asked them was, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? No, they said, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. When Paul laid his hands on each of the 12, the Holy Spirit manifested. They immediately started speaking in tongues and prophesying. Paul laid his hands. First thing he asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit? Paul knew how important it was to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So did Peter and John. In Acts 8, verse 14, it says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. And it says, as soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of Jesus. So they were believers. They'd been baptized in water. And it says, then Peter and John laid hands on these new believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. These people were believers. They'd been baptized in the name of Jesus, but they had not yet been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The first thing the apostles do is send Peter and John to get them baptized in the Holy Spirit. So that tells me you can be a believer and be baptized and yet not yet be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why did Paul and the early church and the early apostles and disciples, why did they put such importance on the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus put such importance on the Holy Spirit. They got it from him. And then once they experienced the Holy Spirit for themselves, they just had to tell everybody else about it. You see, we need the power of the Holy Spirit, especially now in the times in which we live. We need the power and the strength and the guidance and the protection of the Holy Spirit in our life. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's God. He's a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's just as much God as the Father. He's just as much God as the Son. There are many verses in the Bible that show the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all in the same verse. Some of them we already looked at today. For example, we read John 14, verse 16. Jesus said, and I, Jesus the Son, will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. You got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all in one verse. And we look at Jesus' baptism in Luke chapter 3. In verse 22, it said, the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. So the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. He's in the water. And then the voice comes from heaven. This is my beloved Son. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all in one verse. Amen. In Acts chapter 5, verse 3, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And then the next verse, he said, you've not lied to men. You've lied to God. So who's the Holy Spirit? He's God. The Holy Spirit is God. Even back in Genesis, as my wife mentioned earlier, the word of the Lord that came earlier, we see the Holy Spirit in creation. In Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We see the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke the world, spoke creation into existence, and the Holy Spirit was the power that brought God's word to pass. Let me tell you, without the Holy Spirit, there would be no creation. Without the Holy Spirit, no universe, no human race. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no virgin birth. Did you know that? The Bible says in Matthew 1:18, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother Mary had promised Joseph to be his wife, but while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no resurrection. Romans 8 verse 11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal body by the same Spirit living within you. Let me tell you, without the Holy Spirit, there'd be no miracles in Jesus' life, because he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Without the Holy Spirit, there'd be no Bible. Because the scripture says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit. The breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction, correction, and give you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. It's important for you to see the Holy Spirit as a person. Because you can't develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit unless you see that he is a person. And what is it that constitutes a person? A person has personality. A person has a soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotion. A person with a soul has feelings, has thoughts, has desires. The Holy Spirit is a person. He has a mind. Romans 8:27 says, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. You have someone living on the inside of you who knows everything about everything. And he's committed himself to be your teacher and guide you into all truth. He knows all truth. He's got the answer to every problem you face. Have you ever asked the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what do you think I should do about this? Holy Spirit, what should I do about this? Let me tell you, you've got the mind of God because you've got the... Because the Holy Spirit has the mind of God, and he lives on the inside of you. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, it says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The number one question that Christians ask is, how can I know the will of God? And you have someone living on the inside of you that knows the will of God for your life. If you want to get to know the will of God, get to know the Holy Spirit, and he'll reveal the will of God to you. Imagine someone came to you and said, will you ask my wife where she wants to go for dinner? No, you ask your wife where she wants to go for dinner. Will you ask my wife how many children she wants to have? No. You go ask your wife how many children she wants to have. Sometimes people ask me, Pastor Steve, do you have a word for me from the Lord? What is God's will for my life? Why don't you go ask the Holy Spirit yourself? You need to develop a relationship with Him. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. He has a mind. He has will. He has emotion. He has feelings. Galatians 5 verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. The Holy Spirit is kind. This is describing who He is. Goodness. The Holy Spirit is good. Faithfulness. He's faithful. Gentleness. The Holy Spirit is gentle. Self-control. Ephesians 4 verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed until the day of redemption. Do not grieve Him. What is it that grieves the Holy Spirit? Read the verses before that. Let me back up a little bit in Ephesians chapter 4 and just read a couple of verses before. It'll show you what grieves Him. So stop, verse 25 says, stop telling lies. That grieves the Holy Spirit. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. That grieves the Holy Spirit. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. And if you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live. Get rid of all bitterness. Bitterness grieves the Holy Spirit. Bitterness is like poison. Get rid of all rage, anger, harsh words, slander, gossip. Grieves the Holy Spirit. As well as all types of evil behavior, instead be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Why does sin grieve the Holy Spirit? Because sin, you know why sin grieves the Holy Spirit? Because sin hurts people, and the Holy Spirit loves people. And when a believer sins, they lose intimacy with the Holy Spirit. See, when the Holy Spirit convicts you and you don't listen, it's like stiff-arming the Holy Spirit. It's like you telling Him, I don't want you in my life. I don't want to listen to you, Holy Spirit. But see, that's what we do. Because when we choose to sin, it's like we're saying, Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's telling us, don't do it. And we say, oh, I'm going to do it anyway. Then after we sin, then we say, oh, Holy Spirit, please come speak to me. Please, Holy Spirit, guide me. Let me tell you, you can't go farther in the Holy Spirit if you won't deal with sin in your life. But if you'll humble yourself, He'll set you free. Amen? Let me conclude today. Let me conclude by saying this. I'm gonna make a whole lot of statements, and I want to let you know I can give you scripture for every single statement I'm making. Amen. I can probably give you more than one scripture. But let me just say this. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us, and He intercedes through us on the earth. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the one who calls and qualifies every minister of the gospel for the work of the ministry. The Holy Spirit speaks, teaches, and guides us. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus, reveals Christ to us, and brings all of Christ's words to our remembrance. The Holy Spirit shows us things to come. The Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God. He searches all things. He reveals all things. Where the Holy Spirit is, there is liberty. The writers of the Bible spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We are warned not to grieve the Holy Spirit. The sin against the Holy Spirit is unpardonable. Unless a man is born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We are convicted by Him, born again by Him, led by Him, filled by Him, and sealed by Him. I want to leave you with this scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. May the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. May the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And then Philippians 2, verse 1. You have experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit and have felt His tender affection and mercy. Talking about developing a deeper friendship with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to be your best friend. He is kind. He is gentle. He is compassionate. He is wonderful. He is a person. He is God. He wants to be your friend. What are the takeaways of today's message? Someone asked me, what's the takeaway? Here's the takeaway. What I want you to take from this. I want you to take away that the Holy Spirit, who is God, has come to have a relationship with you. He has come to empower you. He has come to guide you. He has come to comfort you. And I want to encourage you to get to know Him. And the way you get to know Him is the way you get to know anybody. You spend time with Him. You spend time talking to Him. You acknowledge Him. You hang out with Him. You listen to Him. You pray in the Spirit. I'm going to talk more about that next week. You pray in the Spirit every day. You know, when my eyes opened up this morning, you know what I say? Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you for guiding me today. Thank you for speaking to me today. Thank you for showing me things to come. Thank you that you are with me. Thank you for strengthening me. You got to talk to the Holy Spirit throughout your day. He is your friend. You got to acknowledge Him because He's with you. And the more that you acknowledge Him and the more that you talk to Him, the more you hear Him, the more you will be aware of His presence. You get anything out of this today? I want to say this. After service ends today, I'm going to ask some of our prayer partners, Tom and Anna and Pam and Jerry and Abel and Michelle and Teresa, if you wouldn't mind standing at the front after the service, because if you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, today is your day to receive Him. And when we close, I want you to come forward and they'll pray for you and you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, you need the Holy Spirit. You need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. So we're going to continue next week. This is a series that I'm doing. I'm going to carry on next week. We'll probably go 2-3 weeks with this. But I really felt stirred in my heart to speak to you and teach to you about the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want you to bow your head for a moment. Every head bowed, if you would. Father, I pray for every single person that is here today in service, every person who's watching this, whenever they may watch this, I pray for each one, Lord. I pray, Father, that You will fill them with Your Holy Spirit. I pray, Holy Spirit, that they will come to know You as their best friend. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You will reveal Yourself, that You will speak to them, that You will guide them, that You will show them things to come, that You will strengthen them, comfort them, help them. In the name of Jesus, thank You, Holy Spirit, for making Yourself known to each and every one. Thank You for filling us anew today. Thank You that You are always with us, Holy Spirit. You are our best friend. In Jesus' name. While you have your eyes closed and while you have your head bowed, I want to pray also, if there's anyone here today, if you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord today, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure, you're absolutely certain that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. If I died today, I sure hope so. I believe in God, and I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. And I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I am asking is if you died today, Are you absolutely certain? Can you say you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can be sure about that. You can know that for certain. You can leave here today and you can know that all is right and all is well between you and the Lord. You can know that every mistake, every sin you ever committed, it's forgiven and washed away. And you can know for sure that heaven is where you are going to spend eternity. I want to pray for you. If you want to be included in this prayer, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you are sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure that everything is right between me and God. Pray for me. I'll be sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me, Pastor Steve. If that is you, I want you quickly, just lift your hand up high. Just lift it up high. I'm looking for hands. Raise it up now. If your hand is raised, you are included in this prayer. Thank you so much. I see your hand. Just lift it up. Anyone else that would say, pray for me too, Pastor Steve, lift your hand up. Well, listen, I want to ask you, if you raised your hand, please say this prayer. The scripture tells us in Romans 10, verse 9, that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you declare Jesus is my Lord, the Bible says you will be saved. So do this today. Everybody, say this with me. Say, thank you, Lord, that you love me so much. You sent your Son to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross for me, to take my sin and my punishment. Lord, I believe, Jesus, you are alive. You've been raised from the dead. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. From today, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to live for you. I thank you, Lord, because I have received you, that I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you are my very own Father, and I am your very own child. Thank you that heaven is my home, and my name is written down in your book of life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you raise your hand up for that, we want to congratulate you. I want to ask you to stay behind for a couple of minutes. We have one of our volunteers going to get to you. We have a gift for you. So if you just remain seated, they'll come over to you. God bless you. We are. How many people believe in giving today? How many tithers do we have in the house? How many believe in tithing and giving?
Praise God. Good message. Good message. Man, a lot to feed on there. Well, family, this is a time in the service where we have the opportunity to give into the house of God, into the kingdom of God. This is the way our church is funded. It's the way that God set it up this way. And we're very grateful, thankful to those who faithfully tithe and give to Ascend Church. Those that are watching online, you can go ahead and give. It's real simple. There's a give button that you click on, and it'll lead you. There's various ways that you can give, one being the envelope in the seat where you are sitting. I'm going to read just a couple of verses of investment advice from Jesus. How about that? Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said this in verse 19, "Don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven, where it is safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and where you'll end up being." So, you know, you and I know the earth and everything in it is passing away. Whether we pass away first or the earth pass away first, it's passing away, right? So I don't want to put all my treasure in something that's passing away. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's like, come on, guys, don't waste it. He's Matthew 6:24, he says, "You can't worship two gods at once, loving one God, and you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money both." Jesus' words, not mine. And you say, well, I don't worship money. But the thing is, I would say, if we put our trust in our money, then if we trust our money more than we trust God, then we are worshiping our money more than we're worshiping God, right? He goes on and he says, if God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he will attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax. Jesus said, relax. When offering time comes, relax, right? He's talking about money, relax. He says, I want you to relax. Don't be so preoccupied with getting. You can lie. You've been around, I mean, we've got 8 grandkids, but one of them we're around, and they're always thinking about what they can get next. What you know, you're like, didn't you just get 100 things in the last few weeks? And they're always thinking about getting. Jesus said, don't be preoccupied with getting. Be preoccupied so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know God and you know how he works. We should know it, right? He said, give and it'll be given back to you. He said, I'll provide your every need. He's like, look at these flowers. No one's caring for them, wildflowers. I'm caring for them. I'll care for you. But lastly, in Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, but more than anything else, put God's work first and do what he wants. Then the other things will be yours as well. In the New King James, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things that we're seeking after, the world's seeking after, will be added to you. Amen? So as you go to give, just know that God, you can trust God. You can trust him. He says, put him first, and these things will come after you. You don't have to be going after them. They'll be coming after you. Amen? Praise God. Thank you. We are going to pray right now. If you're watching online, go ahead and give right now. Father, I thank you for every man, woman, child. I thank you for every family represented here. You know their situations. Father, there are people that have had job changes. There are people that have had all kinds of circumstantial changes. But Father, I thank you that you just put an assurance in their heart today that they can trust you. That as they put you first, that you will provide for them. That you will meet every need. That you will multiply the seeds that they sow. That they can go to sleep tonight, put their head on the pillow in peace, and they know that their God is working on their behalf. So I thank you for every tither and every giver in this place, Father. Bless them abundantly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ushers, you can go ahead and do that. They've got the various ways that you can give real easy. Michelle, you're going to make an announcement here? Michelle? Thank you. We're going to just do an announcement while we're doing that, and we're going to close out. I'm glad this is a series. You can't discuss the person of the Holy Spirit in one service. I mean, we could go all year with it. I've only got one mic here, so you'll have to share.
Okay. Hey guys, I'm Michelle, and I am one of the youth leaders here, and so we are super excited to say we are 1 week away from launching Ascend Youth. So if you are a teenager, listen up, and if you know a teenager or you have a teenager, tell them this. We are super excited to build a community for you guys where you know you belong, but also to the main purposes of the church will not be separate from what we're doing in youth, and we're also just going to equip you and empower you for living the world in this world the way that we're called to live. So don't think that your age disqualifies you from walking in signs, miracles, and wonders. Don't think that you're not able to live a righteous life because you have so many different things that are telling you how to think and believe and be. This is going to be a really exciting time to just reveal more about what the Lord has for you in your life. And that's it.
That's good. So you're going to meet at 5 o'clock on a Sunday, next Sunday, the 1st, and it's going to be every second Sunday. And so come on, parents, come on, young people. We're going to, something new starting up, and we're really excited about it. Amen? Praise God. You want to close in prayer? I'll close in prayer. Father, thank you for this first day of a new week. I thank you, Father, that you go before us, that you lead us, you guide us. I thank you for your protection that is around about each and every one of us, Thank you for peace that floods every heart and soul and mind today as we go out of here in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a good week, family. Stop and say hi in the lobby. And remember, anyone who wants prayer for the Holy Spirit, come on forward.